Kansas abolished capital punishment in 1907. In 1935, due to a sudden prevalence in the Midwest of rampaging professional criminals, Alvin Old Creepy Carpus, Charles Pretty Boy Floyd, Clyde Barrow and his homicidal sweetheart Bonnie Parker, the state legislators voted to restore it. However, it was not until 1944 that an executioner had a chance to employ his craft. Over the next 10 years, he was given 9 additional opportunities. But for 6 years, or since 1954, there had been no paychecks for a hangman in Kansas, except at the Army and Air Force disciplinary barracks, which also has a gallows. The late George Docking, governor of Kansas from 1957 through 1960, was responsible for this hiatus, for he was unreservedly opposed to the death penalty. I just don't like killing people. Now, at that time, April 1960, there were in United States prisons 190 persons awaiting civil execution. 5, the clutter killers included, were among the lodgers at Lansing. Occasionally, important visitors to the prison are invited to take what one high official calls a little peek at death row. Those who accept are assigned a guard who, as he leads the tourist along the iron walkway fronting the death cells, is likely to identify the condemned with what he must consider comic formality. "And this," he said to a visitor in 1960, "this is Mr. Perry Edward Smith. Now next door, that's Mr. Smith's buddy, Mr. Richard Eugene Hickok. And over here we have Mr. Earl Wilson. And after Mr. Wilson, meet Mr. Bobby Joe Spencer. And as for this last gentleman, I'm sure you recognize the famous Mr. Lowell Lee Andrews." Earl Wilson, a husky, hymn-singing Negro, had been sentenced to die for the kidnapping, rape, and torture of a young white woman. The victim, though she survived, was left severely disabled. Bobby Joe Spencer, white, an effeminate youth, had confessed to murdering an elderly Kansas City woman, the owner of a rooming house where he lived. Prior to leaving office in January 1961, Governor Docking, who had been defeated for re-election, in large measure because of his attitude toward capital punishment, commuted the sentences of both these men to life imprisonment, which generally meant that they could apply for parole in 7 years. However, Bobby Joe Spencer soon killed again. Stabbed with a shiv another young convict, his rival for the affections of an older inmate. As one prison officer said, "just two punks fighting over a jocker." This deed earned Spencer a second life sentence. But the public was not much aware of either Wilson or Spencer. Compared to Smith and Hickok, or the fifth man on the row, Lowell Lee Andrews, the press had rather slighted them. 2 years earlier, Lowell Lee Andrews, an enormous, weak-eyed boy of 18 who wore horn-rimmed glasses and weighed almost 300 pounds, had been a sophomore at the University of Kansas, an honor student majoring in biology. Though he was a solitary creature, withdrawn and seldom communicative, his acquaintances, both at the university and in his hometown of Walcott, Kansas, regarded him as exceptionally gentle and sweet-natured. Later, one Kansas paper printed an article about him entitled, "The Nicest Boy in Walcott." But inside the quiet young scholar there existed a second, unsuspected personality, one with stunted emotions and a distorted mind through which cold thoughts flowed in cruel directions.